And welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will. Oh, well. Final Fantasy,
it
right?
It has finally come. After so many years, it has finally come. Final Fantasy VII just arrived at my home. I'm just loving it.
Sure. I mean, I can tell from your numerous tweets and your posts on the Discord server and everything. Are you sure you're happy? I just have to know.
Oh, come on. Like, I'm pretty much, like, I mean, this is my first time with Final Fantasy VII, and just, it's a new experience. I mean, you can pretty much say it same thing as a certain cohort of Sonic. It's pretty much on that level.
I don't love Sonic, though. Anyway, and join me also is, of course, Tylius Tyler.
Yes, I'm very happy for you, Will. Final Fantasy looks fantastic, and the reviews are great. I am honored that you've joined us instead of just failing to play.
Yeah.
Because actually, funny enough, because currently in the background right now, my brother is actually playing it right now. So if I had a chance, I would be playing it myself. But right now, my brother's playing it right now.
All right. Well, we got a fun show for you today, despite the quarantine continuing to lock down our lives. But we're all going to start off with, what have you been playing? And I'll go first, because I have been continuing to play my run of Saints Row 4, re-elected for Switch. I should have my review up in the next 2 days. I'm really close to beating it. I could have written it by now. I've already played it before, but I just decided, you know what, let's just go full tilt and just beat it like I usually do, you know, within 2 weeks and have the review done on time. Tyler?
And, what?
Yeah. But the game is still fun. The game is mindless fun, and I've apparently dumped already like 15, 16 hours, and I still got like 3 or 4 missions left to go in the main storyline. Mm-hmm. And the more I play it, the more I realize why it's good in some ways, but honestly really kind of bad in others. Because with Saints Row the Third, which is on the Switch, and I might actually have to buy it on the Switch just so I can replay it again and enjoy it, because that was like a 4.5, 5-star game. That game focused more on the storyline of the overall world and, like, you know, what was going on with the Saints. And that was where it really shined, because it was so shameless, so, you know, balls to the wall. You know, there's a level where you're literally blowing up out of a plane. You blow up a plane, you ride in a tank, and you shoot things out of the air as your tank is falling to the ground. And that's just one level. And then the next level is, because of the plane that you blew up, you released a deadly gas that actually created zombies, and now you have to go kill zombies. That's just two levels in Saints Row the Third. Now, in Saints Row the Fourth, Saints Row 4, they really decided to go like a little more RPG, in that they wanted you to deal with a lot of side quests. But the problem is that the side quests do like the same 6 activities over and over and over again, and it gets really tedious at times. Now, you don't have to do it, but then you could blow through the game in like 5-6 hours, and where's the fun in that? And then, of course, the more side quests you do, the more money you get, where you can buy more upgrades and, of course, increase your superpowers by roaming the city. And it's this weird balancing act, because when they do the story missions, they get really deep with the characters. It's really fun, especially if you've, you know, been with the franchise the whole time. But do I really need to do 32 different hacking missions? I mean, I love puzzles. I do. All right. But I don't need to do 32 hacking missions of trying to line up everything so I can create a circuit. It gets really annoying really fast, especially when you're on a time limit. So, and
yeah,
there's only so many times
like
I can
major...
just blow stuff up.
Yeah, that is definitely the one major criticism of the Saints Row is, like, yeah, there is that sense of tedium, especially when you go through how many puzzles, how many, like, hacking missions. That is kind of one of the main criticisms against Saints Row, yeah.
Yeah, but again, in the third, they did it to where it wove into the storyline where they'll have you do, like, one of each just to get started, and then you have the option of doing it to gain more territory and, you know, increase your power and blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't as necessary, whereas here, you almost have to do it because it's literally like, oh, hey, I need you to go do all these missions for me. And you're supposedly doing it with your homies, but you're really not. They're just telling you what to do, and it just doesn't feel the same. Whereas when you go into the story missions, it's really fun because they get really creative at times dealing with these characters. Like, for example, Shandi goes from a major transformation from 2 to 3, and then in 4, mm-hmm. we meet the old version of Shandi, and then the real Shandi literally busts out of her alien style, but the old Shandi is still there. So now you have two different versions of Shandi, totally different voice actresses, totally different personalities, and they're, like, arguing like they're sisters, which I guess they kind of are. And it's hilarious to see, like, the newer Shandi argue with the older Shandi because she's like, no, this isn't me and everything. And then, of course, there's Keith freaking David. I mean, come on!
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, of course. So, Keith freaking David, of course.
It's great stuff, and I still love this game. I'm spoiler alert, I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5. It's a really fun game. Again, mindless fun. They do really do some good stuff in here. I wish they followed more of the Saints Row 3 style. And then with the upcoming Saints Row 5 that apparently is coming out sometime, I hope they go back to that, because third was their peak, bar none. So, mm-mm. Yeah. Now, as for what else I have been playing, I have, of course, been dabbling in Fire Emblem Heroes, because we got the new banner out recently of the new Fates characters. And I had a bunch of orbs, so I was just like, you know what, I'm going to go. I was looking for one character in particular, and I wanted to get her, and then I was like, you know, let's keep going. And ironically, I got to test out the 40 summons feature.
The spark and, system, as people call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so I was at about 280 orbs-ish, and by the time I got to my 40 summon, because I didn't do, like, 5 summons pure, because I was trying not to resummon a character that I had already gotten, but when I was done, I had, all right, when I got into 40, I was about at 210-ish. So, you know, I spent about 160 orbs to get to that 40th, but when I did, it felt really good that I could go and summon Rinka. So, now, I want to call out a certain someone, because when I said I wanted to get Rinka, a certain someone went, gee, I wonder why. Do tell me, Will, why did you think I wanted to summon Rinka?
Oh, is it something about a Kotaro? Like, that's something I'm kind of confused. What's a Kotaro?
Okay, that was my reason. Why did you think I wanted to summon Rinka?
Oh, please. I can sense a certain culture taste that you have acquired.
Culture taste.
I agree with Will on this one.
Oh, shut up.
I think your reason was a right, thinly veiled
to,
lie.
You don't have to hide it, Todd. Come on. We know that you love your love of wrestling. Come on. You don't have to hide it.
Wait. You think I wanted to get Rinka because she looks like a wrestler?
She does wrestle. You know that, right? She also does sumo. You know that, right?
I do. Actually, I forgot. I'm not
it's her
lie.
Abs, Todd. You wanted
okay,
to summon her because of her abs.
Human. Okay, can we acknowledge? I do not remember her being that ripped in Fates. And I know that we all know that the Fates artists, or sorry, the Heroes artists go way beyond at times. And I think that's what they did here. Because, I mean, look at her. She's like, there are like professionals who would never get that jacked. I do not remember her looking like that in Fates. Okay.
And actually, there was funny enough, there was on a Twitter thread, like actually one person compared the original Fate CG artwork to Heroes, and there's a major difference, including a certain area as well.
I knew it.
The character, like the official character art, does have her with ridiculous abs, though, from Fates. The portrait doesn't look quite as much, but that's because it's stylized.
Fair enough. So, but anyway. What I was saying was the reason that I wanted Rinka was, A, she honestly was one of my favorite characters in Birthright. I really liked her. So I put her with Kaze. They had a really funny character, you know, background or back and forth. I really enjoyed that. But the reason that I wanted Rinka, okay, now I'm looking. Oh my gosh, she does have rock hard abs. Dang.
Tell
I guess you. I wasn't denying it. I was just like, I guess I just didn't realize that it was that. You know, she was that rip. It's been a while since I played Fates. I'm not going to lie. It's been at least, what, 5 years? 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know? No, the reason that I picked Rinka was that she reminded me of a certain anime character, Aisha Clan of the Gitaro Empire from Outlaw Star. All right? That's why I wanted her, because she reminded me of Aisha, who is my anime waifu. So, and honestly, I really just like the character of Rinka. I like that she was, you know, from the Fire Tribe, incredibly strong, wasn't afraid to beat the sense into people. I do want to note, though, if you do the forging bonds with Rinka and you get her, you know, whatever, the first thing she meets Kagero, and they note that they had a sumo match and she wants a rematch. And I kid you not, they literally say, or Kaguro says, yes, I would like a rematch, but we need to be careful because there were some, well, how does she say it? There was like some unruly or kind of suggestive people watching. So take that as you will. Fire Emblem Harem, anybody?
Right. I actually just was doing Bond as well. And the fact that also using, what was the character from on Ike's game? The one just had a recent banner. The later links, that also, she also did assault Elfie? Yeah, I think that was, yeah. Elfie?
Effie?
The retainer. Yeah, Effie.
Effie,
yeah.
The one with the armor that eats a lot.
Yeah, actually wrestled Effie, and apparently that Effie is pretty much on the same part as being a giant bear, which I can only imagine how that battle went through.
Dude. Anyway, but I was glad to get Rinka, and then I also got, let's see, who did I got Sed, who I haven't gotten before, and a Lilith. I got Lilith off the banner, so two out of the four. The irony is, though, that like I had to stop. I had to stop when I got the 40th summon, and so my appearance rate right now is at 4.75. So wow. I'm probably gonna go and get like the free tickets and just try and steal one from them because like I don't want to end it with like 5% chance. I mean, even if it's a repeat, I mean I might as well try to get Forest and the other one, so Midoriya or whatever.
Yeah, like that's definitely the kind of like the tricky part of these gacha games. Like that's kind of what I appreciate about the Mythic Heroes. Like at least you start off with an 8%.
Yeah.
Like here with RNG with the normal banners, once you reach up there, it adds up. I mean, thankfully with the Spark system, it doesn't cost you as much now, thankfully. But yeah, I'm trying to like really conserve my orbs of whether or not we'll get the next. To choose your legends from Fate from the three houses, which when they're gonna be doing that. So yeah, personally for me, I suggest wait for that banner right now. I don't know, like it's definitely a new good system, a quality of life, but still be careful with the orbs naturally.
But yeah, so that was fun, and again, I'm glad I got Rinka. Though after checking out the actual art for her from Fire Emblem Fates, yeah, these artists for heroes really got to work on their, how do I say this kindly?
you don't need to sugarcoat it. It's pretty much, again, Faye is pretty much fan service to the point.
Yeah, they need to work on their libido levels. Let's put it that way. All right.
You know how you get people's money, right? You do know the oldest trick in the book.
Yes, I do know the oldest trick in the book. Blackmail. Gosh. Not that I've done that before. Wink. Anyway, look forward to my Saints Row 4 review. It will be up by the weekend, if not sooner. So I will enjoy writing that, and then I'll either be playing Saints Row the Third next, or finally dipping into Cindered Shadows. So I'm looking forward to that for sure. So, and I'm gonna be having a lot of time on my hands. I just feel it. Work has been a little light, which is fine because I actually want to relax. So, yeah. Good times.
Nice.
We already know what Will's playing, so go ahead, Tyler.
Well, I wonder what I've been playing, but yes, as you can tell from the beginning of my intro, yes, I have been playing a little bit of Final Fantasy VII, just heading into Chapter 2 right now, just after the bombing run, and finally first met Tifa, and gotta say, like, I can only imagine how it is in the perspective of longtime fans who played the original back on like 1997. But yeah, just seeing the world and all that, like I can see why people like this game. I really can see that. I mean, sure, it's not like the same turn-based system as the old game, but like for the new generation, I think you can definitely find the appeal of why it just had that such big fan base. So yeah, I'm just currently playing Final Fantasy VII right now and just like seeing my brother just playing his playthrough right now. But overall, that is a good game. I can't wait to see more. And also, just been dabbling here a bit of Uncharted 4, which currently is free for PlayStation Plus users. Just went back to the multiplayer, grinded on there. And of course, actually on Faye, which, again, it's not... Unfortunately, I didn't really have as great luck. I've been using the tickets, and currently right now I'm at the 20 summon mark before the spark, but like, I don't know. Rinka's pretty much the only one I want, or maybe just to get, I don't know, maybe Forest or Midori, even the Dragon Child. I don't know, but I feel like this banner is, like, not as important until, like, the next, like, mythical or even, like, big banner, like the Choose Your Legends, which, again, when they're going to release that, I have no idea.
Probably June. Don't they always release it in the middle of the year?
They usually release Choose Your Legends in beginning of September, end of August. So there's the, I mean, you got quite some time to wait for that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I understand the desire for the mythic banners, you know, but honestly, some of the recent ones, they'd be kind of weird, like the magician guy. I don't even remember him. Like, he's one of, like, the seven saints or sages or whatever.
Right.
You know, I'd rather have the Rinkas and the Liliths and the Forests and all of them because they're, like, characters I even remember playing or enjoying. And, like, the Seven Sages guy is, like, is that, like, an adult version of Robin? I mean, he even has, like, the cloak over his his head. It's like, what is this guy? It's like, oh.
No, see, I disagree. I like when they do the off-the-wall characters. Like, Lilith. You couldn't play as Lilith in Fates. She was just kind of there. So having her in as a playable character, I think, is pretty cool.
No, I mean, no, she's fine, but she's in, like, in a banner. Like, four characters, you know, a whole bunch of people together versus the mythic banners where you're like, hey, here's, you know, this one very special character. You either remember him or you don't, you know, because like Duma, you know, that was cool, but he was the bad guy and he was never even seen. So that just felt weird. Like Sothis, that was fine. Sothis was necessary because she's the girl on the throne. But, you know, like, I don't even remember what's the guy's name? The not Robin dude, like
Brymond.
Yeah, Brymond. I don't even remember him. At all.
Yeah, see, he I know he gives you the legendary weapons in Fire Emblem 7.
It has been a while, I suppose, since I've played that. But
I mean, like, some of these characters definitely have, like, I can only imagine because, again, they're mostly in lore-based. Like, of course, like, Altina, the legendary heroes and all that, so...
Yeah, Altina was another one, yeah.
Altina was sweet, right? I mean, that was so cool that they added her into the game as, like, you know, a legend figure. I would think it'd be cool if they added... other like seven crusaders from Fire Emblem 7. I think it'd be cool to play as those historic characters.
Mm-mm. So last I checked, I think there's still four more slots for legendary or mythic heroes. So we're pretty much getting due in due time. So, but overall, I kind of prefer more of those banners because again, the solid 8% is better than the whole 3%. But that's just me. But overall, yeah, aside from those, yeah, overall it's been a stellar weekend. I can't wait to go back to Final Fantasy VII after this podcast. And I've also just been witnessing my nephew playing Animal Crossing, which, yeah, he cannot stop. There'll be times where he just plays until 3 o'clock in the morning. He cannot stop playing Animal Crossing.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that a little bit because people are getting rather creative with Animal Crossing, but we'll get to that. So Tyler, what about you? What have you been playing?
Yeah, so I have been playing Dragon Quest still. I don't think I'm much further than I was when we last discussed that. So instead, I'm going to use my time to discuss playing Mario Kart with my family, which was an absolutely electric experience because my dad has used to play video games all the time growing up. Well, not growing up, but he used to play on the original Super or NES, the original Mario Bros. So he is somewhat familiar with a controller, but he never played after the Super Nintendo. So we were trying to get him to learn how to play Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and it was not going very well. We would put on the auto dry for him just to make sure he wouldn't fall off the track. And there was a bunch of people over. We were breaking quarantine, unfortunately, but we had too many people to play at one time, so I was off and I was letting my dad play, and he was in like 10th or something in one race, and he gave me the signal to come over and take the controller and start to race because he was sitting behind everybody, so nobody saw that he passed me the controller. And suddenly, you know, Mario starts flying up the scoreboard and he's like providing all this commentary like, I just had to get rid of Luigi. Luigi was terrible. As soon as I got rid of him, I was great. And seeing everybody in the room just start to think, oh, you know what? It must have been Luigi. He's terrible. So I passed my older brother, DK DJ, who is a friend of the program. And after the race game, I throw my controller back to my dad, and he's like, you know, pumping his fists, and everybody's looking at him like, how did he get so good? You know, it must have just been Luigi being terrible. Now that he's Mario, he's figured it all out. He's great at this. And this went on for like three or four races of just my dad starting, being in last, and then giving me the controller and like kind of surging up through the rankings. My younger brother finally caught on, but even after we finished, like everybody came out and was like, how did you learn how to play that so quickly? You got so good so fast. It was hilarious to me. I just couldn't believe how the perception everybody had of my dad, that he could learn, he could go from the worst to the best just by switching characters. It was an electric experience.
Nice.
Very nice. So social distancing means nothing when it comes to matters of family and Mario Kart.
Exactly, exactly. Actually, so I guess we didn't truly break, I mean, we sort of broke quarantine, but my older brother and his fiance lived in Philadelphia, so they came over to visit, and yeah, so we weren't having a big gathering or anything, but we did. Gather.
The key thing is that, you know, you don't, you know, shake hands or kiss or hug or hug or whatever, and if you do cough, you make sure that, you know, you're looking away from everybody and you wash your hands. Like, the social distancing thing is really more about, like, public areas. Like, I was with my family earlier today. I know my mom and dad aren't sick because mom's been working from home and isn't going out, and dad's work jobs have him in very low populated places, and he's very careful. So I can be, you know, less than 6 feet from them because I know they're not sick. And I know I'm not sick because I'm a hermit. So, and my mom is slowly embracing the hermit lifestyle. I knew she could. She was so resistant at first. Now I just got to get her to start playing video games. And no, that'll never happen. I could dream, though. I could dream.
So. It's hard to believe that it has been three, almost feels like 3 weeks. Almost feels like a year now since, like.
Well, let's see. Today's the 9th. Started. And let's see. So March 9th. Okay, March 9th was when, honestly, I remember March 9th. March 9th was a Monday. Yeah, it was a Monday, and it was the Monday after my final con of the year so far. Because I was supposed to have 4 cons in 5 weeks, remember that? And so I had just gotten off of another con. I was having a great week, and then all of a sudden the word starts to spread that, you know, coronavirus is taking hold. And then the following week was when everything started getting canceled, and then the lockdown procedures came in, and the state started shutting down, and then the wrestling venues couldn't do anything. Sports leagues are canceled. It's crazy. So yeah, it feels like forever. And then on Sunday, this past Sunday, I woke up because this past weekend was WrestleMania, and they did it in two parts because of the quarantine. So I watched it on Saturday night. That was night one. And I woke up on Sunday, and I literally said to myself, oh, this is going to be a good Monday. And then I paused. I'm like, wait a minute. Did I have a Sunday? And I thought about it for like a minute, and then I was like, then it hit me like, no, today is Sunday. I don't have church. That's why it feels wrong. You know, and like Wednesdays are completely shot because of the comic book situation. And so like nothing feels like, I had to remember multiple times that the podcast was on tonight because I'm like, what day is it? What day is that? It's today Friday? I don't remember. I'm not saying I hate the quarantine, but I hate the quarantine.
I mean, it just kind of feels weird, like something like WWE have no crowds they still perform. It's kind of odd.
Oh, it's weird. It's weird. AEW is better because they actually have like the wrestlers cheering everybody on. But no, the WrestleMania was weird, and you know, watching wrestling with no audience, just it's okay, but it's not the same. And they're having to, you know, kind of cheat at times to try and, you know, make things interesting overall, which is okay. I appreciate the creativity, but life is going to be so much better when this is all done and we're like quarantine is lifted, because we really need some normalcy in my life. And I don't believe in normal. I don't. It's just not how my brain works, but I'll accept that we need something normal. All right, we need the stores open. We need people in malls and sports arenas. We need sports back on our television. And you know, Sports Center needs to live, man. Tyler can appreciate this. Sports Center needs to live.
I was telling everyone how future me is going to look back on quarantine me and just be so proud and yet disgusted at who I've become. Because I mean, I haven't watched any sports, so instead I'm starting to read, I'm exercising every day, all good habits are being developed here.
Yeah.
But I know that the second basketball comes back, I'm going to be back yelling about the Sixers on Twitter, and there goes all the good habits I built up.
See, for me, it's the reverse. Because of the quarantine, I've doubled down on my hermit ways, with staying inside as much as possible, going to Netflix and enjoying free TV. But because of this, and because of my mother being such a great cook, I've gained at least 10 pounds in the last couple months because of the holidays and just get-togethers and everything. And then the quarantine hasn't helped because it's been warmer outside. So this would usually be the point in the year where I would start working out again. Like last year, I started working out in March for the Full Gear Challenge for AEW, and I was enjoying that more or less because it was leading my wrestling training, which burned out, but whatever. But I kept that going until winter hit because then it was cold and I didn't want to go out. So now I'm 230-ish, which isn't too bad, but still, and I could see my gut growing. And even my mom was like, Todd, you're looking like you did in college, where I ate a lot because of the meal plan that I had. And I go, is it really that bad? She goes, no, I just remember how you looked in college. I'm like, oh, thank you, mother. So I need the quarantine to end so I can go start working out again, because I don't have Ring Fit Adventure because everyone's buying it.
Well, that's, yeah, remind I'm so me. Mad
I still,
about that.
I still want to get it out. As soon as this quarantine's over, I'm getting Ring Fit as soon as it's over.
As soon as they put it online. Do you remember what the market price was for it? $80? I don't remember what they charged.
About $75, $80. Give it
yeah,
to
something like that. Because it's the game and the peripheral. So right, that meant more.
Which is a piece of plastic. There's no way that should raise the price by $15 or whatever it is, but that's okay.
Apparently it's very durable. Yeah.
It looks great. Yeah, it does. Yeah, because I was like, okay, I need to come up with some fitness routine that's beyond, push-ups, crunches, and a jog. And I thought, oh, Ring Fit. Ring Fit's the move. And then I looked on Amazon, thinking somewhere in the world they have Ring Fit Adventure. And nope. No, I mean, the lowest price was $320. The scalpers are scalping right now. It's ridiculous.
Scalpers, no scalping.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. I mean, that's four times market price. And just, it's funny because I believe 3 or 4 weeks ago we said, oh, it looks like Nintendo's supply issues are behind them. Nope. They're more alive than ever.
All right, well, enough about that. We do have some news to talk about this week, despite the very slowness of everything going on. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And starting off, we have confirmation about Smash Brothers that is both kind of bad, but it is something. So, as you might recall, I think about 2 weeks ago, we noted that Sakurai said in a column on Famitsu that they were going to monitor how the team progressed with the coronavirus, because obviously if one of them got sick, everybody would have to be sent home, and the coronavirus already ruined a meeting with a potential third-party person about a character for Smash Brothers in Fighter Pass 2. Well, now Sakurai sent out a tweet himself and has noted that he is working on Super Smash Bros. Ultimate remotely, which basically means he's working from home. So he says this isn't preferable, but it has to be done. So they are still working on the game. So this isn't delaying the game or the content that we know of. It's just, it's going to hinder the communication and everything because, if everyone's working from home, then they have to do Zoom or Skype or whatever programs Nintendo uses to contact people when they're not in the office. And I'm sure that this will potentially hinder third-party things. But then again, Zoom and Skype, you can talk with people. It's a mess. We know. But they are still working on the game, and so until they say we're not working on the Fighter Pass, we have to believe they're working on it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that they're working on it. I do wonder, I was disappointed that the ARMS character was going to be distributed in June, because I think when we get Byleth in early February, late January, that's a long time between new character releases. So I do wonder how far along in the development process they are. Hopefully it's not too long and that we push it back to July, because I don't want to be getting, I'll be excited when every fighter comes out, but I don't want new fighters to be leaking into 2023 or whatever,
No, definitely not. I mean, let's be honest here. While we all would understand know the delay if it came to it. We don't want this to be kept at arm's length.
Yeah, zinger.
Zing. Oh gosh.
Like, if we go into this whole new stuff, Sakurai have the thing remotely now as well as everyone else. I mean, granted, it can't be helped. As much as, like, we want more characters, but again, this is for the better cause. Again, keep everyone safe, have the Nintendo staff safe at Sora Limited, and yeah, just hoping that we get, as soon as, like, hopefully June, we will get the ARMS character reviewed soon enough. But after that, the next 5 characters, again, let's hope it will be more sooner than later, but again, let's just hope the world situation improves.
Again, hopefully we'll find out more about which ARMS character gets the selection soon. We'll see, but apparently all eyes are pointing to June, but we've also said that before about, you know, movies, shows, and Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Remember when I thought E3 canceling in June was weird? Now things are looks like there's nothing happening until July at the earliest. It's crazy.
Yeah, they were ahead of the curve.
That was a bad take for me. That did not age well.
Eh.
I mean, I know why I felt that way, but it didn't age well.
Eh, it's one of those things. Like, I thought for sure that, you know, I have a Comic-Con that I love to go to in June. I thought, oh, they're going to make it, you know, everything will get better by the middle of April, but because of how long it takes them to set up, they had to cancel. And then I thought, oh, you know what? It's fine. Wonder Woman 1984, that'll be the first movie that we see out of quarantine. You know, it's going to be the shiny beacon of hope like Diana always is, and it's like, no, they got pushed back to August, and I'm like, this is why we can't have nice things. Anyway, but again, we know that they're still working on it. That's what's important. So we'll just go with that. Moving on. This is a piece of news that I actually found very intriguing, okay? The Witcher 3, the team at CD Projekt Red had released a board report about how much game has sold, right? And they were talking about the overall sales of the game from when it released, all the systems that it released on, blah, blah, blah. And according to this, despite just releasing in 2019 for the Switch, the Switch version of The Witcher 3 has sold over 700,000 copies.
Mm.
Yeah, and this is interesting for a couple reasons. Number one, the game originally released in 2015. So by the time we got it, it was basically 4 to 5 years old, depending on how you look at it. All right. Second of all, this port, while good, don't get me wrong, it was good. It wasn't as high quality in graphics and certain other things. They definitely had to tone stuff down. They admitted that themselves. You know, this wasn't the super high definition, you know, 4K graphics plus Knuckles kind of thing. But it was still a very functional game. All the reviews noted that. And three, arguably most importantly, Witcher 1 and 2 have not been on Switch. So anybody who was getting this game for the Switch either played the other games on the other consoles or just heard a lot of good things about Witcher 3, which it was an amazing game, and just decided to buy it. So I would see this as a major encouraging factor to various other third-party developers, which we've already seen them porting games to Switch all over the place, including the one I'm playing in Saints Row 4. But, you know, this is a good sign. It's like, hey, if you have a good enough franchise, there are Switch people who will play this. It will make you money.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing we haven't seen that is like, first-person shooters have not translated super well, although I guess Doom did fairly well.
Yeah, Doom
but,
was good.
Like, if you have a sprawling RPG adventure, People like those games. I was going to get Witcher 3. I haven't yet, but I still plan on getting it when the opportunity arises.
I'll let you know right now. Like, sure, it is no small game. It like my brother literally spent 140 hours doing everything on my PS4. Like it sucked at his life. So like, it's bad enough you got Dragon Quest 11 to do up on the Switch. If you want to put in Witcher 3 on that thing, that is a lot of hours of gaming right there.
Yeah, that's why I'm not getting it, because right now I just, with all the work I've got and the other things I want to do, I know that if I did start playing it, I would want to dedicate, like, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day, and that would just drain what little free time I do have for other things that I need to get done and everything, even with the quarantine. So I'm not saying I wouldn't be opposed to getting it, but it would definitely have to be like the right kind of situation kind of thing. And it'd have to be a physical version because my Switch has been battling for memory. I've got apparently a lot. I've used up a lot of memory apparently. I didn't realize that. So yeah.
Right. Like definitely invest on a memory card. And I guess the reason why I'm surprised it did so well on the Switch is like aside from like the boost in popularity due to the Netflix show, like that's one thing. The reason why is just. I guess people just like having like big sprawling adventures on the go. I mean, sure, we have Dragon Quest XI, but perhaps also just Witcher 3 coming on the Switch. Like, Witcher 3, so mature title on Nintendo Switch, which, again, that's pretty surprising. And just I'm just glad that the sales reflect that people will buy the ports on Switch, even with the graphical downgrade. So it's always nice. It's good to see that there is the audience out there.
So, but hey, congrats to CD Projekt Red. I'm glad that your investment in Switch was worth it. And I look forward to playing Cyberpunk 2077. I'm kidding. There's no way that's going to work. All right, they're having trouble. If you recall, they're having trouble on Xbox and PS4. All right, and those are supposed to be, like, you know, super high-end consoles. There's no way they could do it for the Switch. I'd like to see them try, though.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I'd like to see it, like, it's like the Switch version, 5.0, the graphics are only half there. It's like, oh, it's a dream. I would do it just to see the train wreck that it is. I would. Ah, boy. All right, next up we have... Okay, this is a little bit weird. So, apparently, as you know, Splatoon 2 is easily one of the biggest hits on the Switch by far. And they ended, wasn't it like last year, they ended all of the big updates and the Splatfest, right? It was last year. So, you know, they did that and it was fine. But for whatever reason, today they made a post on Twitter talking about a new update. It was a minor update, but it was an update nonetheless. And then they took the post down. And it's like, why did you do that? And some people who like caught snapshots said it was just a, you know, minor adjustments to a variety of weapons and blah, blah, blah. So it wasn't like, you know, a major update, but why take it down? What's the point of that? I don't know. It's just weird because it was like if it was a slip up, I understand, but it's a minor update to a game that's been out for years. If it was a major update, like hey, we're coming back to deliver this massive update, this overhaul of, you know, a mode or something, then that's fine. That you can take down, but like just a minor update, that's kind of weird.
No, I agree, and I have no idea why they would take it down. Or really even why they would be updating it at this point. I mean, I guess Splatoon probably still has an active player base, but yeah, I mean, I don't even want to begin to speculate on what it could mean. I have no idea.
Weird stuff, man. Weird stuff. All right, speaking of weird stuff, let's talk Cooking Mama.
This was weird.
So let's recap. Okay, there's been rumors of a new Cooking Mama game for a while. Bringing it to the Switch is logical. That's where a lot of the Cooking Mama games are. Alright? So, a new Cooking Mama game appeared on the eShop. Then it was off the eShop. Then the people who actually got it downloaded were talking about why it was bad. Because it was like about cryptocurrency or something like that. Mm-hmm. Then, as we would find out, the reason it got taken down was because the game, which is called Cooking Mama Cookstar, was apparently... posted too early and against the request from the IP holder. So, yeah, that was weird. And now there's a whole legal battle going on. And it's this really complicated situation. I don't even understand it, honestly. But it's like, what?
So, yeah, like, just to give more details is, like, at first, when I heard the news, like, what Cooking Mama, like... IRB, like when it's installed in someone's PC or in the Nintendo Switch, apparently, like someone in the figureheads used the term of chain blocking, and that's kind of what led to the misconception of Cooking Mama software actually was used as a Bitcoin for Bitcoins, which that was a big misconception.
Yeah.
And it was like later, only like much later afterwards, it was clarified with, again, it's just because of the figurehead used that term. Chain blocking, that it was misconstrued to with Bitcoin mining. So later, it was just later on it was clarified that there was no Bitcoin mining whatsoever. It was like nothing of that sort. It was just like a person used the wrong term, and then just like it just basically snowballed into a misconstrued, and just yeah, and it was then eventually led to the point that yeah, it was because due to the IP being released, and then this whole legal battle, yada yada yada. Overall, yeah. it's a really messy argument. Messy thing, this Cookie Monster. Like, you think that a game like Cookie Monster would be so innocent, would not ever had something this scandal of sorts being involved with her, but nope, better than Mama.
Yeah, that was a wild time when it seemed like it was actually a Bitcoin scam. But yes, you know, like you said, it seemed like it was just a misconception. And then the last thing I heard was that the game just wasn't well optimized. So
yeah, like that's right, I'm reading I'm reading statement that one of the people gave to Screen Rant, and they noted that the game was supposedly not supposed to be released because it still needed polishing. And one of the teams was either Planet Entertainment or Office Create, whatever. But one of them released it early, despite the people working on the game saying, hey, we need to refine this stuff. And then they took it down because it clearly wasn't working properly. And then, like, the cryptocurrency weird stuff, which is all, like, buzzwords, but it got people's attention. And so I've never seen anything like this before. I mean, I've heard of games being accidentally released early, or, like, the Final Fantasy situation where they were shipped out early because of various circumstances. But nothing like this. And I'm kind of glad, because this is just weird. Ugh. Not good for Mama.
Yep.
Alright. Boy. Moving on. Let's just get going. Alright. Oh yes. This is what I've been waiting for all episode to talk about. Death Battle! Yeah, baby! So if you recall, I noted that last week the upcoming episode of Death Battle was gonna be between Goro from Mortal Kombat and Machamp from Pokemon. And the episode has finally come out. And it was everything that I could have hoped for and more. It was an epic 3D battle that fully embraced the craziness of both Pokemon and Mortal Kombat. You need to go watch it. I will put a link in the Outer Haven post where we have this podcast. And seriously, go and watch it. It is a 3D fight to enjoy. I will not spoil who wins, but I'm pretty sure the tone of my voice should indicate who wins. Because we are a Nintendo podcast. Wink. And seriously, this fight was so much fun. How they broke down the Pokedex, and including acknowledging that the Pokedex is nuts. All right, like I forgot that the first Pokedex about Kadabra is that a teenage boy turned into a Kadabra, which is weird because shouldn't he evolve from an Abra? So did a baby turn into Abra? The world may never know. I don't know. So, or the power of the seismic toss actually throwing people into orbit, and apparently Machamps do this when they're fighting each other in the wild because. Reasons. So yay, Pokedex. Yeah.
It's just kind of like, again, Pokemon lore has always been like crazy, if not like, granted, it could be exaggerated to the point, like, yes, that much Machamp, what was the first form? Okay, Machamp, Machop, and
Machop.
Thank you. Machop, 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 Machamp. Okay. Thank you for the correction. And
call
yeah, like,
Pokemon fan.
Hey, I'm not the Pokemon fan. You are. So
yeah, but you keep saying that. Hey, I'm the guy who was only there in the beginning. So was Machamp.
That's
Gen
a great
one.
Point.
Yeah, he is the Gen 1. Yes, but again, it's been so long. I'm an old man. Sue me. But I digress. But yeah, like again, the Pokemon lore, it has been exaggerated to the points. And again, we see even on the shows, it could be like. Like, yeah, if you want to, like, compare other lores, like, Mortal Kombat to Pokemon lore, like, yeah, good luck with that. Like, when you can throw Hyper Beams, Solar Beams, even use time to go against Mortal Kombat characters, like, yeah, good luck with that. Good luck against Pokemon.
Yeah, well, but it's complicated, though, because, and we were talking about this before the podcast, one of the very first death battles was Pikachu versus Blanka from Street Fighter. And you think, well, wait a minute, okay, Pikachu is a powerhouse, has broken, you know, stone, and has enough thunder power to, you know, electrocute just about anybody, but Blanka is specially tailored to fight electric types because he's electrically immune, not to mention his brutal power is about to kill a mouse. So, I mean, it's all about tiers, really, because just like there's different tiers of fighters, you know, like, dang, Hibiki can't beat a Pokemon, but Ryu, I think he could, you know, it's all about tiers, man, so... But yeah, Machamp is insane. And but the death battle was really fun. Definitely go and watch. They had a really epic battle track that mixed Mortal Kombat and Pokemon themes together. It was really good stuff. And yes, as I noted last week, they did indeed hire a voice actor to say Machop 1,000 times. So yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah, they did a really good job of combining the Pokemon and Mortal Kombat. I did love the seismic toss where Machamp gets him up into the moon, and they kind of the music goes like muffled, just like the X-ray attacks in Mortal Kombat. It was good stuff.
Yeah. Also, a fan pointed this out. This is a very small spoiler. There's a point in the battle where Machamp is just wailing away on Goro, and Goro does the X-ray attack and snaps his skull, and yet Machamp is still able to talk. He should have been able to talk, but you will not stop him from saying Machamp. You cannot!
And I just really appreciate, like, again, the forearms and just going to hold JoJo punches, like, just trading blows.
That was great.
I think and also, like, reminds me of Ashura's Wrath. Like, again, thank you for doing at least the basic JoJo reference, at least.
Oh, gosh. It's really fun. So go and watch it. It's already, like, one of the most watched episodes of the season for good reason. It's like a 3-minute fight, but again, it's 3D. It's really epic. I honestly think they got the model from Pokken Tournament. I mean,
they might have.
I think they
like
did
it.
Because the one in Pokken Tournament also used Guts, the ability, and so that would be like a really easy, you know, swap for them. So you never know, but it's really fun, and they do a lot of fourth wall breaking, and it's really cool stuff. So I really enjoyed it, and so will you. So go watch it. We command it. All right, I guess we'll stop talking about Death Battle now. Or do we? No, yes, we do. I want to talk about Animal Crossing, because we've noted it's been out not even a month. It's how many? Let's say it's the 20th, so that's what, 2 weeks? Feels like more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been out. I think this is going to be the third week of it being out.
Yeah, tomorrow and or today, depending on what you're watching, the 10th, I'll say. 10th is like 3 weeks after it released. The game is still massively popular. I saw my Twitter feed and some of my Facebook feed is just full of, you know, talk about Animal Crossing, and celebrities are playing. It's like, that's hilarious when the celebrities are getting in on it, because they're probably bored too, because they're like, they can't do filming. So what do they got? They got Animal Crossing. But the reason I wanted to talk about it was that apparently some fans are taking this to the next level. And as you know, hopefully you can create your own costumes and then share them with people via codes. Some fans decided to take this to the next level by going and making full on conventions and cosplays in Animal Crossing, which
yeah,
I find infinitely hilarious.
Yeah, I've been seeing these QR codes and just amazing designs that all these users have created. Like, even my cousin also has been, like, designing his own costume from a Demon Slayer. It's just, yeah, it's just so amazing how much you can allow creative freedom, either for better or for worse, yes.
Yeah, I saw a really cool Time Skip Dimitri one that I loved.
Really?
Super rad. Yeah, I've seen a lot of Three Houses ones, unsurprisingly. Just because the player base for Animal Crossing is so huge and so all-encompassing, it feels like every game has been represented at this point.
Yeah, I love this for a very basic reason, because whether it's the quarantine, whether it's just the desire to push the customization tools to the most, the fans are just diving into this, and they're trying to make like all the content they feel that would make them happy, and I really like that. It's all the little things, you know. Like, I've seen people, you know, do like cosplays of wrestlers and then throw it onto a code, and the wrestling fans will go and do it. One of my favorite wrestlers in AEW, Leva Bates, she's a big Animal Crossing person. She's actually replicated her librarian look from AEW into Animal Crossing because of how deep the tools are, and fans are just going crazy. And then they're, you know, bringing everybody together on a single island is a really clever thing. And I'm glad this is what we were talking about, is that in a world full of nothing, Animal Crossing might be the light. Sorry, Will, Final Fantasy doesn't measure up. But I just love that they're really pushing this to the limit. And it really, really makes me wonder how many people have bought this bloody thing. Because we know that Japan sold basically 2 million in 3 days. And that's awesome. And then I would throw in about 1 million from the UK because they had their biggest launch ever for the franchise. And we still don't know what happened in America or with the digital sales.
That's so true. You know, I saw 4.3 million thrown about. In Japan, it's already catching up to Smash Bros. And I believe even Mario Kart. I saw 3 million copies sold in Japan, which is insane. But maybe it's selling better there than elsewhere. I know the UK had supply shortages in its second week, so I don't know if that's still going on, but its sales dropped 80% in the UK week over week just because of shortages.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. And in regards to shortages, Japan announced that you can only get a Switch if you got like a ticket or reservation or something like that. So the epidemic is seriously affecting Switch sales, which of course just means that once the thing is lifted and everyone's going to go out and buy a Switch or buy the games that they haven't been able to get because they'll finally be able to. But for now, I'm sure Nintendo as well as others are hurting. And in fact, kind of ironically, Sony and Xbox, while I'm sure their sales are down, they're probably not sweating it because they're already working on like the next thing. Their sales are already done basically. But with the Switch, they're still going. You know, they're still in the prime of their year. They're in year 3 right now. 4? 3? 6, 17. Yeah, so year 3. So,
well, you know, they're working on their fourth year.
Yeah. But it's just one of those things where like you couldn't have predicted this, and so I'm glad that for all of you who do have Animal Crossing that you are enjoying it to the fullest, and I do hope to keep seeing yourself. We don't play Animal Crossing, or we'd be right there with you. All right, we could have done NEP from Animal Crossing World. You never know.
I mean, that is kind of one thing I appreciate because like there are even some reports that even cult workers are doing full-fledged meetings via Animal Crossing, which is pretty amazing. So, yeah. I'm glad for the people who have Animal Crossing and just like how it is pretty much the light in the current times right now. Anything I don't have to do and have criticized about Nintendo is like there are some other criticisms. Like again, like can you allow us to make more than one flimsy axe? That's like, yeah, I'm instead of just making one separately. And of course, like there's just all these like just minor quality of life issues that could be addressed. But yeah, overall, Animal Crossing is a great title in these times. So overall, I'm happy for Animal Crossing users. I'm happy with my cousin. And yeah, just hopefully like the next event after Easter is...
Yeah, is the Easter thing done? Because I've seen so many people complaining about the eggs.
I mean, they have patched it in and lowered down the drop rates for the eggs. But currently right now, it is still happening. Right now, there's also the Sakura season, which can currently catch Sakura petals to make Sakura furniture. So that's currently the big thing right now that's happening this month.
So again, enjoy Animal Crossing, everybody. And if you are looking for something else, there are plenty of options. Again, Nintendo's been doing a lot of discounts recently. I saw like certain regions are doing sales on things like Astral Chain. Highly recommend that. A lot of indie games are doing on sale. I still want to get a Puzzle by Numbers or whatever that one was called. The mystery game from the Phoenix Wright people or whatever. So the Murder by Numbers. There we go. That one looks fun. So there's a lot of options out there. So if you got a little bit extra money, looking for something a little bit more, go and check out the eShop. There's a lot for you there. I do want to talk about Final Fantasy VII. Because obviously we've had the original on various Nintendo platforms, including the Switch and the Wii U. But I do want to note something that I saw on various reviews. Could you think that with all the time... with all the delays and all the redos and the updates and the, you know, we're going to make this work and all that, that you would get kind of like a Breath of the Wild experience, you know, infinitely delayed, but it works out at the end. And if the reviews I've been seeing say that it's a great RPG, but it's far from a masterpiece. And I'm really interested in that because we've talked about this before. You know, when Nintendo delays a video game, we understand why they do it, because they are looking for perfection. They want to have, you know, the ultimate experience, or the Breath of the Wild experience, or what they did with Three Houses. You know, that game was really awesome because they took that extra, what was it, like 3 months to make sure that it was nice and polished, and we were grateful. And yet, one of the biggest complaints that I've seen about Final Fantasy is that while they do recreate a lot of what made the early parts of the game great, they took a 5-hour campaign, and slight spoiler, Will, they turn it into a 30-plus-hour campaign.
Right. I'm aware.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But it's just like, that's... I mean, we already knew this was going to happen. Like, they even said that this is going to be, like, part one of the entire game. And I kind of understood that. But then I read, like, the IGN review, which I usually don't go by, but in this case I did because of the detail they went into it. But I was just seeing that, like, hey, they took a 5 hour game, because in the original game, which was two discs to be fair, but it was two discs, right?
Yes.
It was two discs. They said, hey, it's two discs and that's fine, that's a whole game. But this, they took the first 5 hours and then they made it into this 33-hour experience and included some of the worst tropes of RPGs, including, you know, fetch quests, go and, you know, kill five snakes to get an item and everything. And while some of the additions, including, you know, fleshing out more of the members of Avalanche, the group you're a part of in the beginning, that's fine. It's curious that they would almost be desperate to make more of what it is, because you have to wonder if they just tried to expand it in a simple way, you know, flesh out the characters like they were doing, you know, maybe add a few more side quests and maybe make like a 15-hour game, the game would have been out by now and they could already be working on part two. So where's the line, you know?
I disagree with your assessment here. Sorry, well, I want to get this because I'll forget what I'm going to say. Thanks. So one, I haven't played it and you haven't played it, so we don't really know, you know, overall what the feel of the game is. We can base it on the reviews, which are incredibly good. I mean, I just think actually, like, it has an 87% on Metacritic. It's extremely great. I mean, that's that's excellent.
IGN,
I think
IGN gave it an 8 out of 10. They didn't say it was a bad game.
No,
just,
yeah,
it
yeah.
Fluff.
No, yeah. I mean, it's a remake of an old school RPG, which were all entirely full of fluff, but I haven't played it. I don't know how full of fluff it is, and I don't think you know how full of fluff it is either, because you also haven't played it.
I played the original, yeah.
No, you haven't played the remake, which is what we're discussing here. See, I think it's difficult, at least for us. I mean, Will has the best perspective on this, because we haven't seen any of it. And in a way, I think that it's cool that they extended the first 5 hours of the original game into a 35-hour adventure, because there's so much more detail. The one thing I read was that at the very beginning of the game, you do this mission with this group. I had never played Final Fantasy VII, the original, so I don't know much about it, but it seems like you're on a mission, you think you're doing the right thing, and then you, like, destroy the city or something. And, like, the review that I had read said they show, you know, the crushing detail of what that entailed. And I think that that's what a remake of such an old RPG should do. It should bring it to life in an entirely new way and expound upon what is already there. I think that the delay from the evidence that we have of really good reviews, really positive player feedback, clearly did benefit it.
Yeah. And you're right that, you know, you and I haven't played, and I will look forward to a more in-depth, you know, perspective from Will when he's beaten it by this time next week. We all know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. He's going to spend, like, the next 12 hours awake and, you know, like, must play more with Tifa. That came out weird.
nice.
But, you know, it's true, Will. Don't deny it. Aerith for life.
That's a subtle and smash on another for another day.
No, they both look beautiful in the
Tifa
remake.
Is awesome. I really do like Tifa. She was great when I got to play the game originally, and I know she's a very beloved. I liked her in Kingdom Hearts. I thought she was hilarious. So her strength is not to be, you know, ignored. But no, I look forward to your full perspective, Will. But being as you've played the original in full too. No, wait, you said you didn't play the original.
I have not. I'm a newcomer. I never played the original.
So tell me, why were you so, like, you were almost like full fanboy about this game? So why was that when you've never played the original?
Well, like, again, I've just been not, like, seeing my brother has played the original. I just kind of like grew to, like, really respect the Final Fantasy community. I mean, heck, I see Maximilian Duse's just passion, just how much, like, how this game supposedly, like, changed the gaming landscape since the original PS1 days. And, like, I couldn't remember, because it wasn't, like, I'm not sure, correct me if I'm wrong, because, like, I thought, like, because before with the whole Nintendo and Square big fight, I know that about that in history's past, but apparently, supposedly, Final Fantasy is supposed to be on a Nintendo console, but then they switched it to Sony. Like, but correct me if I'm wrong, I could be completely wrong. But
I think that that's true. I think that that's true. I know that they had a split probably over Nintendo's choice to keep cartridges on the N64.
Yeah, that was it. Because the first six, the first six, it's complicated, but the first six Final Fantasy games were on Nintendo platform solely, and then Square Enix wanted to expand what they could do with Final Fantasy, but they knew they couldn't do it on the N64 for one reason or another. And then when Sony came around, it's like, hey, we have discs, and I can help you, and then they're like, okay, we got to jump ship to make our series better, and that's what they did.
Yeah. So, and again, I just kind of like jumped apart and just like, I've been seeing the trailers and like, okay, like I never played the original, but I've always been curious about it. Like how it was back on the PS1 days. I can still remember back when I was like a wee lad, I'm like, seeing just brief gameplays of my brother. We never had the PS1s. We never had the original Final Fantasy 7. And I was just seeing like re-release after re-release after re-release on PC, Steam, and all these systems later on. It's like, okay, like, but I wanted to get like the whole remake experience, like not the original turn base, of course, but just see what the big hubbub is about. In regards to the cold criticism, regarding to why they make the first part of the game into a separate product now, like they explained it like they didn't want to go in content, and they really want to realize how the world of Midgar was, because if they had to like try to fit all the entire game into just these two Blu-rays, they would have to cut a lot of things, because back in the PS1 days, like you could fit a lot of things on the PS on a basic CD disc, and they really want to do it justice. So I think that's the reason why they decided to do this episodically. I mean, granted, a lot of people did not like this, because again, you're making us try three separate games of this type. Like that granted, I can understand why people would feel so mad about it. But for the sake of like really want to realize their dreams, that's what an interview said. Like they want to realize their dreams, not want to cut corners, and like really make this world feel like realize in which they couldn't do back on the original PS1 hardware. I think that's the reason why they decided to choose the step of making this episodic, which, I mean, again, argue, like it or not, I mean, from what I'm seeing so far, just seeing the gameplay of it right now in front of me is just, I think that's probably a good choice, because like when you want to have like cut content from the original source material, or do you want like get the full experience, but like have some tidbits and sacrifices because of it. I mean, it's debatable. It's debatable, to say the least.
All right, really quick before we go into our main event. In lieu of Final Fantasy Remake being remastered in this way, I want you to pick one Nintendo classic from, let's say, N64 era and rewound, so SNES or NES, that you would like to see get the Final Fantasy VII Remake treatment.
Oh man.
So here, I'll tell you mine. I would either want Super Mario World, like keep the graphics out. Don't make it like pure 3D Mario, like we've seen with like Mario U and Mario 3D Land or whatever. Like make a very original style to it to keep the freshness of it. But I would like to see that world of Mario brought into life. And if not that, it would have to be Super Metroid. Because they did Samus Returns really well, and I would love to see Super Metroid brought back in all of its glory to a new generation. That would be kind of a perfect segue for Metroid Prime 4, because you know you bring back the all-time classic, and then you continue the saga. So that would be fun.
Yeah, those are both really, really good picks. I actually think the original Paper Mario, I would love to see that brought back and expanded upon, because that's one of my all-time favorite games. The art style obviously still holds up today. I don't even know how much of a graphical reboot it needs. I kind of actually like, in the newer ones they have like a white outline around Mario, and I don't like that as much as I like the older style of just the regular paper look. But I would love to see that game kind of rebuilt with maybe some more side missions. There's really not a lot of good side content, so I'd like to see that expanded upon.
I like it.
Oh, and for me, it's really kind of hard, because like N64 has always been like the console for mainstream platformers. I mean, as Mario 64, Donkey Kong 64, I mean, even Conker's Bad Fur Day, I feel like those things have been great platformers. But if I had to choose like one, honestly, if the rumors are true, I probably would want to see the remake present day version of Super Mario 64. I mean, granted, we did have a Super Mario Odyssey and of course Galaxy 2 that realized it, that like the basic level of that first level. But I kind of imagine how Super Mario 64 look in the current day. But granted, we did have Odyssey recently, so I'm not sure how they're going to pull that one off. But I would like to see like a Super Mario 64 in current day. Like, I don't know, with Unreal Engine or like see these family projects.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, we discussed it. Was it last episode?
That, yeah, it was last episode. Last episode. Yeah,
they're looking at that. They're looking at doing it. So I hope that they do. That would be fantastic.
Did you hear the weird story about Super Mario 64?
Which one?
No.
The smoke glitch.
Oh yeah, I saw that. That was cool.
Yeah.
I agree because it always did look weird.
Yeah. So like, for those who don't know, I believe in the final battle with Bowser, there is a weird smoke effect that happens with Mario, and nobody questioned it. They thought, oh, that's just a part of the game. And for 20 years, no one's ever questioned it. And then somebody finally realized, actually, that's a glitch. So they hacked the game and fixed it with a single line of code.
Yeah, it's not even in that final battle. It's anytime you get burned, the smoke is supposed to be more, I guess, filled out than it appears. So.
Huh. That's just funny because it's like, you know, it just goes to show how much we've progressed, because especially in those early days of 3D gaming graphics, you don't really know what's real and what's just the limitations of the system, which again is why Final Fantasy jumped from the N64 to the PlayStation because of the limitations. But that's just hilarious how for 20 years no one questioned it, then someone realized, you know, I think that's a glitch, and sure enough it was, and they fixed it with a single line of code. So gaming, everybody, it's evolved. All right, so for our main event tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different, because as is the internet's way, and is the way of the world right now with everything quarantine, this weird trend has been going on about, you know, picking a house or a table or whatever it is, of having four or five options, and you can only have those four or five options. So we're going to do our version of it in a special episode of the NAP Secret Society. All right, so here's how it's going to go. Tyler has went and made a series of houses that feature Nintendo franchises. And we are going to do this off the basis of, if you could only play the franchises in one house for the rest of, let's just say, the quarantine, which ones would you want to play? So here are our choices. House 1, the Super Mario franchise, Donkey Kong, Pikmin, Xenoblade. House number 2, The Legend of Zelda, Kirby, Splatoon, or WarioWare. Nice choice on that, Tyler, by the way. House number 3, Pokemon, Smash Brothers, Luigi's Mansion, and Star Fox. And finally, House 4, Fire Emblem, Mario Kart, Animal Crossing, and Metroid. So, first of all, props to Tyler for doing an excellent balancing of everything. I thought that was very well done.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah. Also, I saw your comment about House 4 needing a nerf. No, it doesn't need a nerf, because between Mario Kart and Animal Crossing, that's enough of a balance out, trust me. So, what you should have said was Mario Kart 64, because she would never have gone to that house.
Yeah. Well, because like, I was leaning, when I put House 4 together, I was like, oh, you know what? Fire Emblem and Mario Kart, I love them so much. And then so many people love Animal Crossing. But I realized, you know, that's just my own perspective. And then I looked at the other ones and I thought, do I really like House 4 the most? I'm really not sure.
Yeah. I have to admit, I am struggling a little bit, because you'd think that because of my love of Fire Emblem or Pokemon Legend of Zelda, I would instantly go to those. But if I'm having to play, you know, just these franchises for the rest of the quarantine, let's just say 6 months. It's not going to last 6 months, I promise you folks. Okay, I can't take
that. Hey, don't promise that.
I made a promise about Wonder Woman, and we all know how that worked out. Anyway, so, but, you know, I am torn, because it's a question of time and content. Because
right.
You think, well, like Smash Brothers, you could play Smash Brothers forever. Yes, you could play Smash Brothers forever, but would you want to play Smash Brothers forever? Same with Fire Emblem and Mario Kart and even Animal Crossing. And so, of course, we all know some Animal Crossing people that'll just play for like 8 years and never stop. Poor souls. So, okay, I'm going to let Tyler go first because you made these houses.
Yeah.
So what is your house that you pick?
So it's very difficult because, you know, it's, as you said, you really have to weigh the content. And then you want a nice diversity of your gameplay. And I think House 4 is the most diverse because you have a strategy game, you have a racing game, you have a life sim, and then you have like a, what would you describe Metroid as? I can only think of it as Metroidvania, and that's redundant. But you know what I mean. An adventure
it's a
game.
Sci-fi platform shooter.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. Sci-fi platform shooter. So I like the diversity there. But at the end of the day, I have to go with House 1, and that's Super Mario, Donkey Kong, Pikmin, and Xenoblade. So you know I'm not going to play Xenoblade. I don't like Xenoblade. You can throw that out. But Pikmin is a franchise that I've never really played before, and that works to its advantage here because I have played the heck out of Fire Emblem and Mario Kart, and I've played the heck out of Pokemon and Smash Bros and Luigi's Mansion and Star Fox. Pikmin, and that's a series that I could say this feels new to me, you know. So it has that interest there. Donkey Kong is my favorite platform series of all time. I could play those games just over and over and over and never get tired of them. I love them dearly. So that would be my kind of go-to. And then with Super Mario, you have a nice diversity again. Platforming games are my favorite. So I'm not disheartened by the fact that I'm taking both Donkey Kong and Mario. I have a 3D platformer in Mario and a 2D platformer in Donkey Kong. I feel that you could get easily 3 months just out of the Mario Super Mario series alone. And when I say Super Mario, note that that doesn't count Mario Party or the Mario RPGs.
No.
We're talking mainline
Mario
platform
Mario
games. But even so, you could get tons of content out of that. So I got to go with House 1 for that reason. Probably say House 4 is my second choice.
Oh.
All right, Will, how about you?
Yeah, like, for me, I'm just looking at the choices, like, which game would be good during a quarantine? Of course, Fire Emblem, you could get a lot of hours, Mario Kart. Definitely, House number 4 definitely it seems like the most very appealing for many people, because, again, Fire Emblem, you can get a lot of hours just by, especially with three houses, you go with the different paths. Mario Kart, just go racing all day, every day, so, and there's that, Animal Crossing. You also love just daily life to get, like, if you have to be stuck inside, you might as well go on an island, city folk, whatever you want to be. And Metroid is just like, you go to space! And I just go to things. So, Hospital number 4 definitely seems very appealing for me. But when it comes down to it, I'm also going to have to agree with Tyler with this one. I got to go with House number 1. Because, like, one, House of Mario, Super Mario is just... One, it's Mario. Like, there's no way I would not, like, leave the house I just want to stay in the house playing Mario all day, every day. I mean, Odyssey, 64. Just something about Mario games, like, it just makes you smile. I mean, heck, even 3D World is just, like, a game that just brings a smile to my face. And then Donkey Kong is, again, like, all... If you need something to challenge a platformer, and, of course, like, Donkey Kong's humor from Rare and is just and Retro Studios, it just feels like... Yeah, if you need the challenge, then Donkey Kong's got a challenge for you. Pikmin. Yeah, Pikmin, I don't know. It's a strange thing about Pikmin that the first game has always been like, it was always pressed you for time, and that thing kind of really was the main cause of stress for a lot of players, myself included. But I don't know. I just kind of found it tempers that multitask skill of yours. Like, okay, path one squad here, path one squad there, have this here. Like, it just kind of, like, keeps you on your toes that of, like, developing skills. And with the second game and third game, it just feels like, I don't know, I feel like even though the world's, like, pretty much out to eat you up and just, like, basically kill you, but there's also that sense of beauty, of course, like the water, the environment. It's just like, there's something about it just like also serene that's very similar to Animal Crossing in a sense. And actually, Xenoblade, of course, one is just very anime-esque. I love my animes. I'm a hardcore weeb. And of course, with Xenoblade Chronicles, with how much waifu blades. Yes, I'm going to call it waifu blades in the game. It's like, and even the base game of Xenoblade 1X or with 2, like, those games can run you a last easily 100 hours, I feel like. Maybe 90 hours, 80 hours, you could do a lot in those, in any of game of the series. So for me, like, yeah, house number one, yeah, I want to be in that house because it just seems like you can satisfy your time much more better than the other houses.
All right. Let's see. I'm still a little undecided. I'm not going to lie. Number one is interesting, but if it's just the pure Super Mario franchise, I would kind of get bored, especially of all the platforming elements. Because, like, outside of a few, all the Super Mario games are really the same. You know, like, and they, if you play them the right way, it doesn't take that long to beat. So, and I wouldn't really want to replay it, you know, week after week. Donkey Kong, that's a lot of stuff, and I'm not going to lie, it would be entertaining, but going from that to Mario isn't the same. I've never played Pikmin. I think I've played, like, the demo once, so that's not really my kind of thing. Xenoblade, of course, is one of the best franchises ever, and Tyler's favorite game of Xenoblade Chronicles 2. You know, I would play that for him because I know he would want me to. But, and even though those games take a long time, especially with all the side quests and all the things you could do, I don't know if that balances out everything else in there. House 2 is very curious because you got Zelda, which has a lot of great games. Kirby is a sleeper, all right? Because Kirby has a lot of games, all right? Kirby actually has the third most games of all the franchises, all right? And that surprises a lot of people because they don't think of Kirby in that way of, like, you know, having as many titles as Mario or Zelda or, and some of the others. Splatoon is infinitely replayable, especially if you're just, like, wanting to burn 5 minutes. But if you want to burn 5 hours, you know, you better be doing it with friends. WarioWare, I was very interested by that pick, Tyler. I've only played WarioWare in demo form, via, like, the stores that used to have the gaming kiosks and everything.
Yeah.
So I think I would want to play that just because it would be so crazy afterwards. So, you know, like, you're playing, like, a serious game like Zelda, then you're like, I want to go play some mini games where, like, pick a person's nose or something like that. You know, that would get you into WarioWare.
Right. I love WarioWare, and I put it on there because it's got this arcade style that I think works really well in quarantine of trying to beat your high score that you could really get addicted to.
Let's see. House 3 is, that one's tricky because Pokemon across all the franchises, we'll just assume that you have all the necessary consoles and handhelds to play everything. That's a lot of things. And we're talking, that's the main titles, that's, you know, Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Coliseum, all of the side games and everything. That's a lot of freedom. Smash Brothers, I would love to play Smash Brothers, like, all day, every day. And actually, what's the phrase? Oh yeah, get good! So that I could finally beat Tyler in a match. Because I used to think I was good, and then apparently I'm not. But
I'm glad I humbled you.
Oh, it's not about humbling. It's more like just realization. Because there was, like, I was seriously happy with my skills with Link. Like, I literally rejected Ike to play Link because I just felt that I was better with Link. And I honestly am in this version of the game, especially with his bombs and everything. But then I play you, and you're like, you know, you remind me of my friend Patrick when we played Brawl together. Like, I was honestly good. I was undefeated amongst all my friends for a while, and then Patrick came in and just, like, wiped the floor with me with his Pikachu, and then we didn't talk for a year. I kid. But, you know, it happens, and that's where you have to say, like, you know, there's different tiers. But then you throw in a Luigi's Mansion, and, you know, the 1 and 3 were the good ones. And once you're done playing them, there's no real reason to go back. Even with 3's, you know, mini games. And then Star Fox, Star Fox is not a game that ages well, especially since their games are extremely short most times. Like, you could play the whole franchise in a couple of days, period. So that's not exactly long-lasting content. Finally, Fire Emblem, obviously, that's massive right there. All right, all the games, like, tens and tens of hundreds of hours. Mario Kart, you can have a lot of fun with that, especially with Deluxe and the online. I don't play Animal Crossing. I just don't. So I would try. I guess if I have all of the quarantine, I guess I could fall for it, but I don't know. And then Metroid can be hard. Like, people forget how hard Metroid can be at times. There's a reason it's called Metroidvania because of the sprawling world and the difficulty. So what I want to be have that my focus of my time. I honestly don't know. So if I'm gonna have to pick a house, are you sure I can't pick three houses, Tyler?
No, you gotta pick one.
Darn. I'm gonna go with House 2.
All right, House 2.
I do love Legend of Zelda, and there's a lot of content between the 2D and 3D that I can really enjoy. Kirby will be a nice change of pace. Splatoon covers all my multiplayer needs, and then when you just need to do something stupid, you got WarioWare. So.
Yeah, you know, you were totally right. When you put Kirby, you don't really think about how sprawling that franchise is, but it is sprawling. I mean, there are so many games across the handhelds and the consoles, and of course Kirby Air Ride. I mean, there's a lot of Kirby content there.
Yeah. So that was actually kind of fun. That was good. I'm glad we decided to do it. Nice idea, Tyler, because we were before the podcast like. It was like 2 hours before we were going to record, and we're like, what are we going to talk about again? Because
well,
like,
there's just not a ton of news. But we have to get into our characters that we'd like to be quarantined with as well.
Okay.
That's critical. And the characters we don't want to get quarantined into.
All right, well, we can do that quickly. I'll go first. So let's do three characters. All right. It has to be Nintendo pure, not Nintendo third party. So no Bayonetta, Will, or whatever, because she's not pure Nintendo.
I know.
Damn! Okay. All right, my first quarantine buddy is gonna be Navi, because I know she'll keep me on my toes. Tell me to listen. I can't. That would be so annoying. I would squash that fairy so dang fast. My first pick, not really surprising, would be Midna from Twilight Princess, because who doesn't love a little imp? So, and yes, I guess she's technically a beautiful princess too. I'm just saying that's a plus. So that would be my number one. Who would be my number two? No, it's hard when you really think about it, because a lot of the Nintendo characters don't talk, and the ones that do, you wonder if you actually want to have them as companions.
Yes.
So,
right.
I would go with my brother in lore, which is Ike, because he would teach me to be a master swordsman, which I think would be really, really fun. So
how are you? Hold on. How is he going to teach you how to be a master swordsman when you have to be 6 feet apart?
Because that's the length of our swords.
But you're going to have to, you know, like, it's going to be tough. You're going to want him to like get your upper body into the right position. You know, I feel like that's a challenge.
Okay, let's put it to you this way. You know that none of you are sick, so you're like, imagine it's like the zombie virus, all right? you're in an apartment complex, or you're at a ranch or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that all the other world is effed, and as long as you don't leave your home, you're fine. So you have like all the room to do like backyard activities.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so physical contact is cool.
Yeah, because you know they're not sick.
All right.
Because obviously if you're going pure quarantine rules, none of us would be with any of these characters.
Oh, I've got a good list of pure quarantine rules. But...
All right, so I have Midna, and I have Ike. So, you know, I've got my brother and I've got my girlfriend, and then I would need a pet. No, so I would.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, that is reasonable. So I would honestly go with Pikachu. You know, I think Pikachu would be fun. And I mean, yes, I know I could go with any Pokemon, but I'm trying to think logically and reasonably. And Pikachu is my bet, because should something go wrong with the power, I got an electric mouse. All right, and as we've seen with Pikachu and Ash in the anime, once he's your best friend, he's your best friend for life. You know, you got a pet that'll cuddle with you. You know, he'll be on your shoulder. He'll protect you. He'll warn you if danger is coming, so I can kill the zombies. I mean, infected people. I mean, you not kill anybody. That would be bad. But yeah, so I think Pikachu would be a nice companion. He'd be easy to maintain. You just gotta have, you know, Pika food or ketchup. No, nobody remembers that reference.
I got you. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah. I thought you were going to expound further.
No, I was trying to see that's old Pokemon lore, is the Pikachu with the ketchup. But so he'd be easy to maintain. But I think that'd be simple. You know, you have an imp to keep you on your toes. You have a swordsman to keep you busy, because he'll train you. Because that's the thing, is as we've noted earlier, we need exercise in our lives. And so, you know, learning to be a master swordsman, that's effort. And then you could play with Pikachu and have fun with him. So. Yeah, I think that would work. Midna, Ike, Pikachu.
That's good. I like it.
Thank you.
Will, do you have yours?
Yeah. I got actually typing my three in the chat already. And yeah, the first one for me, like, if I had to be stuck in there, like, one, I gotta go with the man himself, Mario. Like, I can only imagine, like, the tales he had going to facing up at Bowser and getting all these, even in Paper Mario iterations. But of course, like, if something happens with the plumbing, he's also a plumber. And
great point.
Oh, he's an all around kind of guy. He can do he plays basketball. He goes Mario Kart. He plays golf. He's an all around guy. So what more can you want?
He's got a point. Like
he's a master of many skills. So like yeah, I can only imagine how it is. Like just talking with Mario and heck, like yeah, with just talking with Charles Martinet, just talking Mario. Like the stories you can tell. So yeah, Mario would definitely be like my first one to be quarantined with. The second one, I've been kind of thinking about it, but I always did want to interested of how her life is even with her tragedies. Samus Aran, like I wonder how it is like being in the life of a bounty hunter, like, and of course like naturally going face against Meta really. Of course, like granted she has her enhancements for the Chozo, so no human can catch her obviously, but I can only imagine like. What's her training outfit? So that's one thing. And of course, like she's nimble, she's quick, and of course she knows how to use a gun. So like have a bounty hunter right next to you, why not? I mean, sure you could have Captain Falcon, but I think Samus Aran kind of beats to it. So yeah, Samus Aran. And yeah. Todd, yeah, unfortunately you did kind of steal my pick. I did also want to go with Pikachu myself as well, because I mean one is Pikachu, like is the adorable, lovable electric mouse that just says Pika Pika. And I just got memories of when I first played Hey You Pikachu back on N64, and like just having him play the harmonica, all that, just all the fun times Pikachu can just like brings light to you. So you stole my pick on that one, Todd.
Yeah.
But if I had to like choose someone else, like I probably would go with the other best Pokemon option. We'll probably go with Eevee. Because like your
ooh,
boy,
good choice.
Because yeah, like ever since with the anime, like Eevee also is just a puffy little fluff ball. And plus, of course, like yeah, boy, it's like ever since hey, yeah, let's go Eevee is just I love it, I love it, I love it. So yeah, Eevee just be so fluffy, and of course, it's the evolution Pokemon, so it could be anything you want later you want it to be. So who knows? So. Yeah. Oh, so those would be my three picks. Mario, just for like the all around type skills. Samus Aran, just a bounty hunter, and all the training she probably can do as well. And of course, Eevee/Pikachu, just because again they're just so bloody cute. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Those are the I would choose.
So I almost went with Mario because of the plumbing thing. So I was fairly I was
love
pretty.
That you both picked it from like the plumbing aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I could just imagine you going, "Hey Mario, can you check out the toilet? Something has gone wrong." And then you wait like 5 seconds, and then you hear "Mamma mia!"
Right? Exactly. Yes. So that's useful. But I also Mario, like you know, his limited vocabulary is a problem. So and that could get annoying. So I didn't put Mario on my list. I approached this from multiple angles here. The first one is the ideal housemate, and that's somebody who's quiet, serene. And that took me immediately to Rosalina. Rosalina would be a great quarantine mate. She would keep you calm and collected during the crisis. She is wise, but she's also quiet and out of the way. So Rosalina, absolutely, put her in. Then...
You just complimented a woman for being quiet and out of the way.
And for being wise and serene.
Okay,
so let's.
It was the way you put it. You said, like, you know, she's wise, she'll keep you calm, but she's also quiet and out of the way.
Yeah, okay, I can see how that would come off that way. I was talking about from a roommate perspective.
Okay.
I feel the need to clear that. So...
Alex, that's good recovery.
Yes, yes. That, yes. So, misogyny aside. I would also need somebody to entertain me and to have fun with. And that took me to 9Volt from WarioWare, because we could play video games all the time. Tons of video games hanging out. That's my little bro. You know, I think 9Volt would be an ideal quarantine mate. And that would add the multiplayer games to your repertoire. Now you've got you've opened up the video game horizons.
Okay.
Finally, you need somebody who can help teach you things. So I actually, my first impulse on this was for some reason, Goombella from Paper Mario.
Oh,
but
wow.
Because Goombella, I always liked, you know, she's very wise.
Yes.
She's got some good kind of energy to her. She's not dull. But in the end, I have to go with Robin from Fire Emblem Awakening, because the master tactician, if you were trying to grow your brain, what are you thinking? You're thinking playing chess. You're thinking somebody who's well-read. You're thinking somebody with perspective. And that is Robin to me. So I'd have to add Robin to my quarantine. So I'm going Rosalina for the wisdom and the roommate factor.
Uh-huh.
9-volt for the gaming and Robin for the wisdom.
Don't think I don't see what you're trying to do there. You picked Robin so you could tip the scales.
Yeah, Robin tips the scales. For sure. So yes, those are my...
All right. Now, very quickly. First of all, I'm also happy that we all picked a gal pal to hang out with. I'm just saying. And we all picked someone very, very different. All right. I picked an impish princess. Will picked a bounty hunter. And what would we call Rosalina? A galactic princess? A galactic icon?
A galactic princess.
She's like a mythic princess.
Mythic princess. Oh, especially you. All right, now very quickly, let's go to roommates that you would not want. I've already got this on lock. All right,
this is easy.
This? Yeah, this is easy. Number one, Donkey Kong.
Okay.
Think about it. He's like super strong, so he'd like break everything. All right. I mean, think about the King Koopa. Sorry, the King K. Rool and the Banjo-Kazooie trailer. When he woke up, like the room shook.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. And then he would want to eat bananas. All the time. And if you want to eat a banana yourself, you're gonna get banana slammed. Alright? It's not even funny. You will die at the hands of Donkey Kong. Number two, Ganondorf. I mean, do I really need to say it? He's the embodiment of all evil. He's probably gonna want to steal your stuff, and then he's gonna want to become king of the household, which will lead to the inevitable war where you have to stab him with the Master Sword, which I just so happen to have on my wall.
Yeah, Ganondorf, good one.
Yeah. And number three, this is kind of an oddball pick, but go with me on this, Mewtwo.
Yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't want him for, because he's psychic. That means he can read your mind, and I never want a person in my mind. I've learned from sci-fi and all the other shows that have psychics. Psychics are a bad idea. The moment they can read your mind, you're screwed. All right? Because you can't hide anything from them. Oh, I'm not going to read your mind, says Jean Grey, and then she reads your mind, and she calls you out on your crap, and I'm like, you dumb redhead! What's wrong with you? I'm sorry, I'm venting. But Mewtwo, he's the one of the best Pokemon ever, but I would not want him as a roommate because, especially Mewtwo from the movie, where he's like, he's talking to you, he can read your mind, he can like brainwash you. You know, I wouldn't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I went extremely utilitarian again here. So the absolute number one worst character to have to quarantine with is King Dedede. He would eat all of your food. Okay. So that's problem one. You would starve. King Dedede would eat all of your food. Cannot have King Dedede in the quarantine. No. Number two, this guy, this was like, who is going to be the most annoying person to have around? And that is going to be Little Mac. Little Mac is going to be he's going to be working out all the time. You're going to, like, the floors are going to be shaking. You're going to be hearing him grunting in the other room. He's going to be stir crazy. If you're like, Little Mac, you can't work out. We're going to tape you down here. Then he's going to be going insane. Little Mac, horrifying roommate, horrifying quarantine. Finally, Cranky Kong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. Cranky Kong, he would annoy you too much with his. He would be watching Fox News saying, this isn't so bad. Back in my day, we weren't afraid of viruses. So Cranky Kong would be a pain, too. So, yeah, those are my three.
Okay. I'm going to fight you on the Little Mac one, but I want to wait to see who Will says, because we're missing a very obvious roommate, and I didn't realize until I said, you know, Ganondorf, but we are missing a very obvious roommate who we do not want. But I want to see who Will says first. So go ahead, Will.
For me, I'm kind of like, this kind of like two character thing, but I do not want the Wario brothers in my room because, one, I do not want to have Wario having garlic smells everywhere and also farting. So, I do not want Wario.
That was, course, who I was referencing, was Wario.
Nice.
And of course, like Waluigi, because again, he's just so. He's like, he's lanky, he's creepy, he just wants, like, yeah, he's just the second Vanilla 2 Wario. Like, yeah, he just wants attention. Like, yeah, please, why does everyone get attention? Everybody cheating by me. Wah! Like, jeez Louise.
He'd be talking your ear off about why he should be in Smash Brothers and everything.
Pretty much, yes. So, yeah, he's just mental baggage. The other one. It's very simple, really. Like, obviously Bowser, because like he just like poke holes everywhere, just so big. And of course, like I do not want to go and have to burn my house down. Thank you very much. Yes. So just I do not want to have Bowser in my house. I'd be stuck with him. And of course, like talk about how like Wario, 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 Wario geez, global domination much. Okay, fine. And of course, like, this one's kind of also simple as well. The antithesis, King K. Rool. Like, I do not want to have King K. Rool just because, like, yeah, just have a bloodshot eye, have a crocodile, like, just be around you all the time. Like, I don't know. I'm sorry. That bloodshot eye is nightmare fuel. I don't care. If I have to go walk out of my house and see that bloodshot eye running around, I'm sorry. I'm just going to go get that out of the house. So, yeah. For me, it's like the Wario Brothers, Bowser, and King K. Rool. I just do not. I can only imagine what the situation would be if I quarantined with them. Like, get me the heck out of there.
Yeah, nice, nice.
Yeah, I was like, I remember, you know, Wario because of after you said DDD, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about Wario. Because, you know, when he farts, it causes nukes, you know? Remember the Smash Brothers trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like one fart in all your entire house is smelling like farts. So yeah, well, that's definitely a good choice. Oh, it's a dream. Alright, so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you which Mario remaster would make you most excited, and 12% of you said Mario 64, 24% said Mario Sunshine, 53% said Mario Galaxy, and 12% said Mario 3D World. I was surprised 64 only had 12%. I would think that would have been higher.
It's all about preference and who votes, you know? Like, some, yeah. Some might think that they don't want to see a remaster because it might not be, you know, as true to the original. Who knows? All right, so what do we want to do for this poll question?
Which place in the Nintendo universe would you most like to be quarantined?
I like that.
Would you like to be quarantined in Garrick Mach Monastery, the Comet Observatory, Peach's Castle, or...
Kanto region.
Oh yeah, that's a whole region. You can't be quarantined. Yeah, it's got to be like a building. You know, it's got to be a structure.
All right, what was Comet Observatory?
Mario Galaxy.
Oh, right. Okay, so Garrick Mach, Comet, Castle,
DK Comet. Island. Okay, DK Island kind of counts though.
Okay, I'll allow it. DK
yeah,
Island.
Yeah, because it's just like it's not that big. It's an island. You know, it's an island. It's an island.
Don't touch the bananas. All right, I like that. That's good. So what is your ideal Nintendo quarantine place? Word that however you want, Tyler. Yeah. This one's going to be hilarious, I'm sure. I already know what Will's going to pick, so. No, you're not going to take the bait, Will? No? Okay, fine.
I'm sorry, I was actually looking at my bro's FF7 playthrough right now, so forgive me.
Yeah, see, we're not even done with the podcast, and he's already thinking about Final Fantasy VII. Where are your loyalties, sir? I already know where your loyalties are. Don't answer that. Anyway, I had like a whole bunch of jokes lined up, but I'm going to be nice because we're at the end of the podcast. So yeah, do let us know that. And of course, let us know what your thoughts are on everything going on in the world with, you know, Smash Brothers, the team working remotely. Were you one of the people who bought The Witcher 3 on Switch? Did you get to watch Machamp versus Goro on Death Battle? If not, seriously, go check it out. Are you like Will and playing Final Fantasy VII? Do let us know. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.